All right. So y'all, I have Shira Gill here, and let me tell you a little bit about my perspective of Shira, and then she can tell me about herself. I've known Shira for a little while now. We've actually both been, we both were certified through Brooke as life coaches, and we met, I guess it was over a year ago at a mastermind, but we didn't really talk much. And then this year we got placed into a small, like 5-member group. So I feel like we've gotten to see each other's drama and all kinds of good mess. And, but I love her style, and she, so just a little bit about her. She's been developing this program since we're both like online people. And I started following her Instagram, and it's beautiful. And then I'm always talking about like, I need to get organized. I need to do this. And her perspective is so different than what you would normally get. It's not just a bunch of, you're going to have to go in there and like clean it out. She talks about the why behind cleaning out. So if you listen to the podcast, you already know what I'm talking about. It's all the thought work that we do. It's giving you like your compelling reason as to why you want to do it. Because most of us go to all the reasons why we don't. Like, I don't want to let go of my, I was telling them, I don't know, I have done like 1,000 lives during this opening. And I said, we get hung up on not wanting to throw away the t-shirt our mom gave us in 84.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's a lot of the reasons why we need to start creating space for the things we truly love, and how that will, you know, it kind of manifests from, you build from the outside or from the inside out. So Shira, tell them a little bit about you, and then we'll get into, guys, if you want to ask questions, pop them in the Q&A. I'll ask Shira stuff. And then she's going to tonight really focus on just like literal practical tips on these closets. I will tell you though, we have gotten more pictures in the tribe since that podcast. They are so purging like crazy.
I love that.
Members, they're like, I listen to the podcast. I'm throwing everything away.
Perfect. That's amazing. Okay. Well, I'll give you my quick spiel, especially for those of you who may not have heard the podcast yet. So I'm Shira, and my company basically, I say I'm kind of a mashup of a home organizer, a life coach, and a stylist. And I like to approach everything from the perspective of values. So of really thinking through who you are, what you care about, what your goals are in your life, and then designing your living spaces to support that, and your closet and the way you dress to support that. So, and I started cleaning out my girlfriend's closet when I was in high school. That's how I initially knew I loved this. But I really discovered it as a career about 9 years ago as a mom with 2 young kids, and seeing the clutter come in and out, and kind of trying to figure out, how do I create a home that supports my family and makes everyone feel happy and comfortable, but is also not filled with clutter and junk and kids stuff? And how do we manage all of that? So I mainly work with women, and especially moms who are just overwhelmed by the clutter and feeling so overwhelmed they don't even know where to start. And so I have my online program, and I work with people in person too. So I've seen it all. I've been in hundreds of houses across the country, hundreds of closets. And you'd be surprised how similar people's challenges are. So I'm really curious to hear the questions that pop up today. But it does seem like so many people are just feeling the same sense of overwhelm and kind of paralysis. Like, I don't know where to start. I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so stuck. It's too much.
That's the most common question we're getting is, okay, like, how do you get motivated to start? Yeah. That is what people, because I even, and I, it's like, I know I should know better, but yeah. Like literally right now we moved in this house 3 years ago, and we only moved in stuff that I absolutely wanted to keep, you know, at the time I thought. Yeah. We have stuff still here that we haven't touched in all that time. And the two areas are Logan's closets. Mm-hmm. And I am just like, I need the space, but I just don't want to get started. So
you
like,
don't even want to go in there.
Yeah. So
how do you get motivated to do it?
All right, Corinne, I'm going to teach the teacher. So, I mean, probably similar to what you teach, but I love the idea, and Brooke teaches this as well, of like a minimum baseline. So okay, thinking about, instead of like, I have to go in and take my entire house by storm and it's overwhelming, then you don't ever want to start. Like thinking about what feels kind of easy and reasonable. Maybe it's 5 minutes. Maybe it's like 15 minutes is usually what I put out to people. Is really like the idea of you can do anything for 15 minutes, right? So you don't want to go into that closet. You have a sense of dread around it. Telling your brain, we're going to set a timer for 15 minutes. That's all we have to do. I'm committed to diving in and focusing for 15 minutes. And when that's done, I can do whatever I want. I can reward myself. I can watch my favorite show. I can take a walk, call a girlfriend, whatever is like fun and feels like a treat for you. But really, it's getting over the hump just is the most important part. And what I find is for most people, when they just commit to, okay, there's a huge project. I know it's going to take forever, but all I'm going to focus on is 15 minutes. I'm going to take a garbage bag, go in there and set a timer. And the timer really is important, as silly as it sounds. Like just use your cell phone and 15 minutes, go. And what happens is you start feeling like you get this little win under your belt. Okay, I did it for 15 minutes. I made a little bit of progress. And then you can start to think of yourself a little bit differently. Like now you're a person who's not procrastinating. You're a person who, you know, honors their word and honors their commitment and gets things done. So that's why it's so important to like set the bar pretty low at the beginning. Like, do you think you would do 15 minutes?
I would. And I think it is more reasonable because My brain goes to the A-type personality, like, well, get in here and overhaul the closet and build some shelves. And, you know, I mean, yeah. It's always drastic. And I also, I think a lot of us go through this. I get in there and all of a sudden everything is, it's like, I either want to get rid of it and I'm just like, well, we'll just buy something new then, you know, like, I'm like throwing away treasured items. I did that when my grandmother died. I was left with purging her whole house. And by the end, it was like her cat was going in the dump.
Oh my God.
So dumb.
That is hysterical. Most people are not ruthless like that. That's usually that people have the opposite problem.
Well, so I was going to say, I'm either ruthless or I'm sitting there in value land. Uh-huh. Everything is valuable, especially free shit. Which when I verbalize it, it makes no sense. But
come
it's on. Like, well, it was free. Why would I get rid of it? I didn't even get it yet. So like, what do you say to like people who are hanging on to shit?
Yeah. Or, okay. Like, well, so you want to have
the value side is probably the worst part for people.
Yes, for sure. And I think it's so easy to ask yourself those questions like, well, what if I need it one day? Or I spent a lot of money? Or what if someone needs to borrow it? Like all of those things. What if my mom comes over and she wants to know where X, Y, and Z is? So I think what's really important is to focus on the after that you want to create. Like, what is your ideal vision of that space that you're building and creating? Because that's going to fuel you and keep you on track. And so for me, like when I'm going through a closet, I want to think, what's the vision of the after here? Is it like a curated boutique? You know, how is it going to make you feel? And you really have to tap into, and even if it's just a storage space, maybe it's like the vision is I want 12 neat organized labeled boxes so I can find everything that I need super easily. And I don't have to like be drowning in clutter and crap and navigating through it and feeling like nauseous every time I see it. Like, what would be the after that would make your heart skip a beat? And then as you're going through, instead of saying like, was this expensive or could it be useful? You're saying, does this thing support the after that I'm trying to create?
I love that. Does this support the after?
Are you taking notes?
I am taking
That's
notes.
Amazing.
No shit. I'm sitting here.
Oh my God.
Well, let me just tell you, I have my public live in the morning. I'm probably going to boost some of this shit and put it on there first.
Well, all righty. You can take it.
I'll be like, yeah. I was talking to Shira. This goes to your food too.
All right. Yeah. Well, it is like when I think about, because my house is, you know, really organized and really streamlined, and people come in and they're like, you work full time, you have kids. How is this happening? And I think it's because the vision that I have of what I wanted to create was so strong and so vibrant, like a magazine picture in my head. And I was so excited to have that picture. Like, I want my bedroom to feel like a spa or like a boutique hotel. I want my closet to feel like a curated boutique. I want our living room to feel like when you go on vacation and you're in a rental house and it's just like this big comfy sofa and fresh flowers, super cozy and inviting, but not all the crap of everyday life. Yeah. So for me, that fuels me so much, and it really energizes me to then want to put in the hard work of streamlining, editing, organizing, and setting up my space, because I know I'm so excited about that after.
Yeah, it's that whole visualization.
Yeah.
Let me give you some of the questions that came in. And then there's one I definitely want you to address before it gets over with, because this is one of my chief justifications and excuses. And it is, at least I'm aware of my problems.
Yeah.
My husband, like, this closet, jack full of his shit. And I'm like, just clean it out. Like, just put it someplace so I can organize, you know, like get my stuff in there.
Right.
So I want to address, like, how do you act? Do you just get their shit out? Like, what do you do? All right. So at 75 pounds overweight, I don't have clothes I love wearing. What thoughts can I use to evaluate what I hate wearing and what I just dislike how it looks? Are those the two differing thoughts, or can you offer some good alternatives? That's a good question.
Okay. Well, so I would say, like, dislike and hate are both really negative. Maybe I'm misunderstanding the question, but I wouldn't want you to hold on to anything that you dislike or hate.
Right.
So I would want you to have less clothes, but better clothes. So even if there's just a handful of things in your closet that you feel good about, I would say put those front and center and focus on just wearing those clothes. And there is a misconception that people think we need so many clothes and so much variety, and you really don't. You really need a few good basic staples that fit you well. Like, I think every woman should have a pair of jeans they feel good in, a jacket, maybe a dress, like a few really good staples that fit and flatter your body right now where you're at. And, you know, we talked about this, like, you don't want to run out and invest tons of money in supporting a body that you're working on changing. But I do think even if you just treat yourself to like a few things, like, I wear the same jeans all the time. I don't need to have 25 pairs of jeans that fit me. If I have one pair that's like dark denim, fits, flatters, I can pair it with all sorts of different things. The rest of the world doesn't know or care or pay attention. So I just would want to really direct you to focusing on what are the pieces that do fit and flatter your current body and make you feel the best that you can right now, where you are right now. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes complete sense. Okay. And I think what she's kind of talking about is having a hard time with getting rid of, I think her dislike clothes aren't that she dislikes the clothes, she dislikes her body. Mm. And it's like these clothes, like maybe they'd look better or whatever. And I think it's just, she needs to get rid of, take what you said, but she also needs to address, it's like, we don't need to not like ourselves right now. We need to focus on what we're, like you were saying, what we're building towards. It's the same thing with, I'm building towards this closet. It's the same thing with your future self. Like,
right.
I'm building this person. And if you have clothes that right now aren't exactly what you want, but you're like, you know, I'm going to quit hating on myself about it. I'm just going to start working. I think maybe there's a few pieces you can just hang on to. Maybe they do look better in 5 pounds. Who knows?
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know. If you conflict with anything I say,
yeah, I'll tell you.
Get up on it. Okay.
I will. Like, I'll give an example. Like, when I was, you know, for all those moms out there, when you've had your baby, but you haven't lost weight and you still look like vaguely pregnant, you know, that like super awkward phase. Anyway, I went through that. So I, at that point, was like, I don't want to run out and buy a new wardrobe because I know my body's going to change. Like, I was breastfeeding and I knew my whole body was going to change. I was going to lose weight, but I didn't want to show up as a schlub every day until that happened. I didn't know that could be 6 months. It could be a year. So what I did during that kind of awkward temporary time, that transitional time, is I just took myself shopping for a few items. Like I said, I always like to have a pair of jeans that fit me really well. So I said, okay, none of my jeans fit me right now. I'm going to get one pair that are just killer that feel perfect. I'm just going to invest in that one pair and wear them until things change.
Yeah.
And then like, I think I bought a couple of tops and it was just like enough to kind of get me through and feel like I was still treating myself well, even though I didn't have the body that I ultimately wanted to move towards. Mm-hmm. I was embracing, this is the body I have now, so I'm going to treat it with respect. I'm going to dress it in clothes that fit.
Well, and I think that's the thing. It's like everybody needs to ask yourself whenever you're making decisions about anything, am I treating my body well? Mm-hmm. If the answer is yes, then I'm saying you're a go.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm totally with you on that. And I think if you're wavering on something, like you may actually want to take the time and try it on and just see how do you feel. Like I always say, think about how you want to feel in your clothes. Like, and that varies for every woman. Like it could be confident, it could be sexy, it could be professional. Think about how you want to feel in your clothes. And if you put them on and it does not support that vision at all, then that's got to go.
I do. We keep a donate bag in our closet. We just keep it there because every now and then I'll put something on and at the end of the day, I will have noticed I wrestled with it when I was working or it was
yes.
You know, like I can see my boobs popping out in a, you know, live or something. I'm just like, that's got to go. If it's not going to be functional and I, especially if you have to wrestle with it all day long.
Totally.
Like I just don't want some kind, I don't want that much struggle in my wardrobe.
That's right. No. Or if it's like, I have to buy this new bra to wear this thing. And then I have to buy like a different bottom to go with it. Mm-hmm. Too much work. Like you want to be able to take 5 minutes or less to get dressed in the morning, put it on, feel good.
Yes.
And again, less is more. You don't need that many clothes. You just need, it's like fewer, better.
I'm never going to show you my closet until I clean it out.
Coming for you.
I swear to God, I almost ordered some clothes today and I turned it off. I was like, you cannot have clothes until you have gone through the closet.
That's right, Corinne. Shop from your closet.
That's right. This is my area of, oh, wait a minute. This is the wrong question. How do you help someone discover their style? I have quite a bit of weight to lose, but don't want to wear everything oversized all the time. Do you help someone understand what will look good on them with their current body shape?
Yeah. So I think, I mean, my emphasis is always on clothes that fit well. So you don't want anything like pinching or tucking or overly oversized. Like a lot of women tend to hide their bodies by wearing sacks or shapeless muumuus. So I think like I would really focus. And even if you lack the confidence or you want help, like you can get a personal shopper at a Nordstrom or a department store for free and just have them help you pull things that fit and flatter your current body. So it's less about thinking like going for specific trends or styles. I would really focus on simple, well-made clothes that fit you perfectly.
And almost every like Lane Bryant, a lot of the plus size stores, those people, they want to help you. If you just tell them like, I am really looking to flatter my body, they will help you find it. And I took a Kathy Hartman shop and she had lost a lot of weight. She had never went to like a nice place to get clothes. So we went to White House Black Market and I turned her loose. The like shopping lady came by and I just said, she's going to buy clothes and she needs stuff that fits. And she she never tries anything outside of her uniform. And they put her in, we were there like 5 hours. She tried almost everything on in the store.
Yeah.
They looked at it. They gave her honest feedback and stuff. I mean, they even would, and I would just tell people when I would go, if y'all are going shopping to look for a few things, hey, like, here's my budget. I want honest feedback.
Yeah.
Like, I want your eyes to tell me what looks good, what doesn't, and then wear it around the store. Like, don't just try it on and stand there. Like, sit in it, move around in it, make sure you're comfortable in it.
Yeah, you want to be comfortable and you want it to align with your lifestyle. So you want to think about what is your actual day-to-day life? What are you doing? Where are you going? Do you need professional clothes? Do you need mom clothes? Do you need event clothes? like really dress for your actual lifestyle. Mm-hmm. A lot of people can get into like fantasy island and, you know, get like start buying like resort clothes and they have no plans for a trip, you know, like stuff like that. So I'm always saying like, think about your actual life and then think about elevating your kind of everyday.
Yes.
So, but I do think like, start paying attention also to like, if there are specific stores that you connect to that you look through their catalog or online, you're like, I like that. I feel good about that style. Then I would say constrain your shopping, like go to one or two stores max, tell the people working there, your budget, what you're looking for. Just like Corinne said, try things on, walk around, and you really want to feel comfortable and like you only better.
And I will say I online shop probably 90% of my clothes.
Yeah.
I order a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I try them on at home. I sit around in them. I kind of like feel them out.
Yeah.
If I don't like them, I would bet you when I order clothes, at least half or more always get shipped back.
Yeah, as long as you're shipping them back, because a lot of people, you know, I go to a lot of homes and it's just a big old pile of boxes.
I will not order unless I am committed to shipping it back.
Yeah. Okay, good.
To me, I would rather try them on at home.
Yes.
Because at home, I feel like I can like actually sit at my work desk, like whatever I'm going to really be doing, I can do totally. With them and know yeah. if it's really going to work. And I like looking at things in my mirrors. You know, a lot of times yes. you go to like a department store, I'm like, I look good, but I don't look that good. You know,
what's going on with this mirror?
Yeah. It's like nice yeah. lighting and all kinds of, I'm like, oh my God, I'm 10 years younger and lost 50 pounds.
That's hysterical. Yeah. Well, and at home you can try on with your shoes and your accessories and make yes. sure like, do these items actually fit in and kind of right. align with the other pieces that you have.
Yeah. The worst thing ever is to buy tops, come home and you don't have pants that go with it.
I know.
It's
yeah.
like, well, that was a waste. This is my area of questioning. Are Old Navy clothes, t-shirts, boyfriend jeans, dresses, not wardrobe style staples from 5 years ago worth keeping when I'm back to that weight? Or should I just count it as a new opportunity to refresh my style? It's a good question.
So if the, wait, say that again. So
I think she has like a lot of clothes that were like, they weren't wardrobe staples. They're just things okay. that she bought, but I think she likes them. But she's not at where she wants to be in her weight. They're like 5 years old. So should she keep them or should she just refresh her style as she loses her weight?
Yeah. I think like moderation, like I said, like keep some filler pieces that you feel good enough about, you know, it sounds like you do with these, like they're fine, you know, and then treat yourself to just a few really nice pieces that fit you kind of perfectly now. Then when you get to your goal, you can treat yourself to even more pieces. But I think it's fine to balance out. Like I said, when I was in my awkward phase, I kept, you know, like a bunch of things that were okay and then highlighted my wardrobe with like a few really nice pieces.
Yeah. And I think too, it's like you just have to I think it was Courtney who asked. I think you just have to decide, like, here was my thinking as I was losing weight. Look at those clothes and be like, when I lose my weight, am I going to want these clothes yeah. or not? You know, like yeah. I know for me, I was just like, look, I've lost weight. I'm ready to like redo this wardrobe. Like yeah. I don't want, like even when I was at 250, mm-hmm. I had clothes I'd held on to that I wore around 175. Well, by the time I got there, I didn't want them anymore, but I right. thought I would, you know? So I think mm-hmm. it's kind of just asking yourself that question.
I love that.
Yeah. I have a very skimpy closet as I have bare minimum clothes because I hated buying the size that I have been. I'd like to have a capsule wardrobe, but I've lost 35 and need to lose 60 more. What do I do?
Okay.
Like what you've been talking about, right?
It is. Yeah. And like, I have a capsule wardrobe, so I can speak to that. Like,
what is
I
that? Think,
oh yeah. So a capsule wardrobe is basically a mini wardrobe. So there's no exact number, but like roughly 30 pieces in your closet, whereas most people have like, you know, often 100+.
Oh, wow.
So, and generally it's a very curated, intentional wardrobe where everything kind of goes together. So often it's like monochromatic pieces. Like my wardrobe is very neutral. So I have like white, black, gray, and a lot of denim. And so I could pick any top, any bottom. It all kind of seamlessly goes together. So it makes getting dressed super easy. And it makes, you know, coming up with new outfits very easy because you can layer anything. So basically, like, I don't have like a bright yellow dress with red flowers. I would have like a black dress, and then I would add variety with jewelry or different hair or fun nails or kind of layering and getting creative that way. So for this person, I would say, you know, it's really great to build your capsule slowly over time, no matter what. So it's kind of perfect for someone who's losing weight because you can invest in like very few high quality, high end pieces that are going to work with you as you transition. I talked with Corinne on the podcast, like I love investing in like a really nice handbag, really nice shoes. Those are things that are timeless, well-made, will bring any wardrobe to the next level. And just focus on kind of having a list, like your list of your ideal capsule, and then maybe just treat yourself every time you hit a milestone, like add a new piece to your capsule. And then if your body really dramatically changes, of course, you'll have to make some adjustments. But I do think there are some items that can grow with you, you know, like dresses that you could belt now, or, you know, you could wear things differently, blazers, jackets, shoes, purses, accessories, all of those can be really transitional through any weight.
Okay. Well, I learned something new. You know about capsule wardrobe.
Capsule wardrobe. It's all the rage.
Oh, well, I need to Google that. I have a very skimpy closet, as I have been bare minimum clothes. Oh, wait a minute. We just did this one. Yeah. I've never found my size in the nicer stores like Nordstrom's. Do you have any online sites that are good for plus size clothes?
Mm. Can you speak to that at all, Corinne? Because that is not my area of expertise, unfortunately.
I honestly, let me ask, and I will put it in the show notes of this call. There are a few girls in our group that are like, they know the clothes. They know all the plus size stores where to get the best ones. I want to say, is it Talbot's for women? I think they have really nice clothes, and they also have personal shoppers. If you go online to White House Black Market, they have plus size clothes now, and they have what I would consider, like, this could go into capsule wardrobes. They have a lot of basics, a lot of like monochromatics, things like that. I was trying to think. There's one other one.
What about Eileen Fisher? Do you know Eileen Fisher?
I've heard of it. There's an Eileen Fisher store in our Green Hills Mall, which is our like free, they have a Nordstrom and they have a Tiffany and stuff like that. Talbot's, J. Jill is what some of the other girls have said.
I would check Eileen Fisher because some of my girls from my last program were saying that that was really great for plus sizes. And they also, it's like almost everything is like black, neutral, super chic. And great for transitional, like all different sizes too. So that could be good for that as well.
Yeah. And I'll reach out to, there's like two or three girls in the tribe that are just high fashion plus size. And I mean, I'm always amazed at the stuff that they show up in. I'm like, they'll come to camp and I'm like, oh my God, like, where'd you get that outfit?
I love it. Well, when you figure it out, share it with me too, because I'd love to have those resources.
Yeah, I will. I definitely will.
Yeah.
Is it okay to hang on to clothes that used to fit that you love and know fits you well at a certain weight and hang on to them until you lose that weight?
Yeah. So I would say it is okay if those things are motivating and make you feel good to keep. Like, if the emotion behind it is really like, I love these pieces, I'm so excited to wear them, they make me feel good. Mm-hmm. I would say what I see with most women who keep, you know, quote, skinny clothes in their closet, is it kind of perpetuates the notion that something's wrong with them, that like their body should be different to fit into those clothes.
Yes.
And often can bring up a lot of shame or pressure. And so I would just kind of ask you, like, how do those clothes make you feel? And if it is like, I'm really excited to wear them one day, maybe you don't want to see them every day front and center in your closet. Maybe you want to pack them up, put them in the back of your closet or in storage. And then if that happens, you know, you have them and you'll be excited to wear them. I just wouldn't feature them front and center. I really want your closet to be set up for you right now.
And I just think that's really important, guys, for your weight loss is to, you know, we talk about creating an environment that's going to help you not only just like we're cleaning out our mental space. I'm encouraging you guys to not like get rid of all the junk food, but to make your pantries inviting, make your fridge inviting, you know, create these beautiful spaces that make healthy, not feel restrictive, depriving. Usually we associate trying to lose weight as a very miserable experience. And the more beauty that you can create around it, you visually start feeling like this is a lifestyle that's enjoyable. And so I think that's really important. It's the same thing with your closet. If you walk in every day and it feels like shame cave, then that's not a good idea.
We do not want shame cave at all.
No. I think it's just really important that you start learning that right now I am like building the best life I can. And here's all the ways. And I get to enjoy the best life now. But don't put it off. Don't have like all these things I have to earn and I've got to change in order to, you know, feel happy and rewarded. It's like, no, you get to do that now. And let's figure out all the ways that you can do that. And if your brain starts wanting to go to work on, you know, well, I just don't believe I'm going to lose my weight and all that stuff. We'll work on all of that. That doesn't mean you get a pass on creating an environment that brings you joy.
Just I love that. I'll say like one like little tiny hack, like a little investment that I would say for everybody is streamlined hangers. Like I know it sounds so trivial and so silly, and you know that I will like rant about this all day long. People fight me on it, and then whenever they swap out their hangers, so instead of having like the mishmash of wire hangers and plastic hangers and velvet hangers and everything's turned upside down, one type of hanger, treat yourself, swap out all of your hangers so they're all the same, everything's hanging neatly in the same direction. And I promise you, like I've done this for all of my clients, it's like a little gift you can give yourself that every morning you open your closet and you see all matching hangers, everything hung up neatly. It really is a form of self-care.
I love that. And I actually was telling my husband about this because he bought, I swear to God, 500 of those velvet hangers. And he has a mix of plastic ones because for him, it's like this organization thing. And I'm like, so hideous. And I hate those velvet hangers because I can't get my clothes off of them. I'm just anyway, I told him we were going to do the whatever hanger. What is the name of the hanger you always give everyone?
Well, I love the ones that you hate. A lot of people love the huggable hangers are the flat velvet ones. Those are the ones you hate.
We have like 4 million of those.
So a lot of women like love those.
Brown on top of it.
Well, a lot of people love them because they're non-slip, so the clothes don't, like your blouses and dresses don't tumble to the floor. I have everybody buy white wooden hangers if they have a curated wardrobe, because you can't have big bulky wooden hangers if you have 9,000 things in your closet. But it's like a treat for if you really edit and get rid of a good chunk of your closet, like in my closet and most of the closets that I transform in person, I just get white wooden hangers. You can get them at IKEA, the Container Store, Amazon. But the most important thing to me is you just pick a hanger you like and just have all of them be the same.
Well, I was also telling him, I said, you know, if we get these white wooden hangers, it'll make you get rid of a lot of your clothes because they're expensive. Quit buying clothes because we have to buy a hanger for every one of them.
That's right. Yes. Well, and then the hangers kind of serve as a boundary of like you set up your hangers so they're all like nice and neat and evenly spaced out. Then if you go shopping, you don't buy more hangers. You get rid of some clothes so that you create a new hanger.
Yes.
So it kind of keeps you honest.
Yes. That's what I was going to say. It keeps you very honest. It'll save you money in the long run.
For sure. Yes.
Let's see. That's it. That's all the questions
That's
we
it.
Have.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay.
You would think they would ask more about clothing, but I think that we covered a lot.
Well, it is like, as I said, most people do have the same types of questions. Like there's these themes that come up.
Well, tell me how you deal with a husband.
Oh yeah. That's a good one.
Drawers and your closets.
All right, I'll tell you what I do. So, because this is so much more important to me than it is to my husband. So the first thing I did, just in terms of self-coaching and not getting into like nagging or resentment or, you know, being annoyed with my
husband. I'm in resentment. I'm not in nagging. I just went straight to resentment because I didn't want to be a nag.
Yeah. So what I do is I take ownership of, this is my thing. It's really important to me. I am willing to put in more work, more energy, and more commitment because I care so much. So, like, I'll give you an example. We had a bookshelf in our living room, and my husband loves books, but the books were like double decker, which drove me crazy. And they were like tumbling all over each other. And I kept saying, we've got to get rid of books. And he didn't even want to go near it. So what I said is, I'm going to do all of this. All you have to do is give me 15 minutes of your time. Again, with the 15 minutes, you're the decision maker. I'm doing everything. Okay. So I got him to agree to that. And I basically physically took all the books off the shelf, made a big old pile, and had some book boxes, and just had him 15 minutes. Yes, no, yes, no. And because I had taken them all out and kind of presented them in a fresh light. So instead of him just scanning them on the bookshelf where he was used to seeing them and saying, yeah, they're all fine, he then had this massive pile, like a mountain of books. He didn't even realize how many books he had. And he was able to just go, yes, no, yes, no. And he got rid of almost half of his books. Then I physically put them in the car, drove them to the library, and then set up the keepers in a nice, neat row. So for him, it was 15 minutes of his time. But for me, I got this dramatic transformation. So you have to decide, like, are you willing to do that work and not be resentful of it?
Yeah, I am. I think what I just need to do is set aside time on a Saturday to drag it all out in the middle of my office.
Yeah.
Because two things will happen. One, I won't be able to do a Zoom with all that shit behind me.
That's right.
So both of us will be forced to decide what goes in the closet and what doesn't.
Yeah, it is. It's all about getting it out. Yeah. Get it out of where you're used to seeing it and make a big old pile and then just make it easy on yourself. Like have a trash and a recycling and a donate so you can just make these quick decisions and boop, 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 they all just go in a pile.
Well, that's good. Somebody said, do you have any tips to make your closet feel awesome when you open the doors? I have a 6-foot wide closet, not a walk-in. I guess besides the hangers.
Yeah. So another thing I love is having really beautiful bins or baskets for the things, like instead of having piles of random like accessories or seasonal stuff, like I see a lot of like scarves or hats or mittens or swimsuits just kind of like thrown in a bunch. So what I like to do if you do have open shelves is just find like a really beautiful bin or basket that you love. I love the streamlined look. So I will just get this one type and maybe get like 4 or 6, you know, measure your space. And then everything will just look so neat and streamlined. So you could do like one for your scarves, one for winter, one for summer. And then all you're seeing is like that clean line of baskets. And I would go opaque with that, like instead of doing clear plastic where you're seeing all the clutter, even if it's organized and streamlined, it's going to look like clutter. Always go opaque with your bins, baskets, and organizing supplies.
Okay. All right. That's good to know.
So that, the hangers is my favorite.
What about and then shoes?
Shoes, my favorite thing. No. So I don't keep shoe boxes. So I don't keep the cardboard shoe boxes. If you do need that just for maximizing space, like stackable shoe boxes, I get the clear ones from the Container Store. They're $1.89 and they're stackable. So you can get one pair per shoe box. They even have different ones if you have like booties or high boots. So I get everything out of shoe boxes, which tend to like disintegrate over time and get dusty and just look kind of cruddy. So I get all my shoes that I don't wear often in stackable clear shoe boxes. And then my day-to-day, I just have simple shoe shelves. So even if you don't have those, you can just line up in a nice neat row on the floor of your closet, have them all just in nice neat pairs in a row, your kind of day-to-day grab and go shoes. Okay. So I'm always thinking, how can I make it look like a boutique? So boutiques don't have, you know, big piles of things and they don't have old cruddy boxes. So it's just like those little investments, the hangers, the matching bins will go a long way.
Okay. All right. Well, anything else you want to cover?
What else do I want to cover? I think just in terms of, I mean, I think like the biggest takeaways I would say are like, number one, oh, I see a question coming in.
Oh, she just said, somebody just typed in chat, do you have any suggestions for jewelry? I have a serious problem.
A serious problem. Well, like I think jewelry is meant to be displayed and worn. So I don't know if you have it all shoved in a drawer, but I would say definitely pick out the pieces that you really love. And I like just a simple like jewelry rack for necklaces to hang in your closet so you can see them. They don't get tangled. For like bracelets, bangles, and rings, I like just pretty little ceramic dishes, sometimes on top of your, you know, nightstand or dresser, or if you have room in like a big walk-in closet. But I really am a believer in like, don't bury all your jewelry, like display it so you see it and you'll wear it and you'll remember what you have. And again, just making sure that it aligns with how you want to show up, your ideal style, that you're not keeping things just because you spent money on it or it was your style in college. But kind of looking at everything with fresh eyes, is this going to make me feel my best now? And then if so, like display it with pride. Don't have it shoved in a drawer.
Yeah. I've got to go through my jewelry too. I'd like to actually get some, I've got some nice, they're not expensive pieces, but they're just really pretty, like, you know, costume, good jewelry that would be so pretty in my closet displayed if I would just take the time to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't wear them because I just throw them in a box and then they're like a hot mess when it's time to wear them. And then the next thing you know, I never accessorize.
Right.
With a piece of jewelry on other than a Fitbit.
Yeah. Fitbits are good.
Yeah. It needs to be washed.
That's hilarious. Yeah. So I would say like my biggest takeaways would be like, number one, visualize your ideal space, visualize what you want to move towards and get excited about that vision. And then two little tiny bite-sized chunks. So the 15-minute kind of minimum baseline, or think about like, what is something that feels easy and approachable? Even like, you know, I have on my website, like a sock drawer makeover. Like if you're overwhelmed with your whole closet, just do the sock drawer. Yes. Throw out all the ones that are old and have holes and are mismatched. And then put the ones that are nice, line them up, put them in nice, neat rows, and then treat yourself to an organized sock drawer. It takes 15 minutes. And then a series of like those little wins is going to add up to a big transformation over time. So just be patient with yourself and just keep plugging away at those like little, like one drawer at a time.
Tell them about, so just so you guys know, Shira has a virtual closet makeover program where like you do it online with Shira. It's open now. I keep saying, I'm going to buy it. And every time I pull it up, my damn credit card is in the other room with that stupid code. I never can remember it. Like,
oh yeah, the three digits.
Write it down on my lap on my computer. But anyway, I am getting it. I'm going through the program.
Yay.
But tell them about it. And I want everyone to know I don't get jack shit out of this. We get the pleasure of her company on Zoom. So it's not like that's I'm right. saying take this program and No, I really think Shira does good things. And I think from a weight loss perspective, it's more than just what we're eating. It is about the whole picture of everything we're creating. And that's one of the reasons why I'm trying to bring on people who are helping you with exercise, helping you with your mind, helping you with, you know, cleaning out things. I mean, all of that's important. So tell them about that.
Yeah. So the program is 6 weeks and it starts September 25th. You can register now just for the next week. Registration's open. Then we close for the year. So it's just right now. So it's all the women will go through it together at the same time. So it's self-paced, but basically every week you'll get a video of me kind of introducing the module, what we're going to be working on. And then you'll get a little workbook so you can get really clear on your goals. I'm going to guide you through everything. And then what's fun is all of the women doing this are going through the same part of the program at the same time. So like everyone's sending pictures of like their sock drawers and, you know, their pajamas and the hilarious t-shirts they're finding from the marathon they ran in college. So it's a fun kind of bonding thing and a very supportive community. And then every week we have calls like this. So I do open Q&A coaching calls. And as you're going through and you get stuck on things like gifts or inherited items or places where you just don't know what to do, you can post your questions and I'll coach you live. And so it's this 6-week course. And by the end of it, you'll know how to edit, how to organize, and how to style your closet. But I also teach you like the exact process all the way through that I use with my in-person clients. So you'll have this new meta skill of being able to declutter, organize, and style literally anything. So that's the goal of the program, is by the end, you then can take this and you can run with it to your office or your junk drawer or your purse or really any room in your house. That you'll then have the confidence to know that you can do this, and you can take control of the clutter in any area. So it's super fun.
I just think it's important. There is one more question that came in.
Oh, great. Oh,
there's
okay.
two. Shit. I think they're along the same lines too. I have several vintage pieces that belong to my grandmother. Most of them are not expensive, but are pretty. They are too dressy to wear often. How would you suggest storing those?
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, if they bring you joy and pleasure to see them, like I would display them. So you see them and you remember you have them. If you're just worried about preserving them, you know, I would just get a jewelry box. Like they have those velvet jewelry boxes. They sell them at the Container Store. So it can just stay preserved and dust free. So I think it depends on usage. Like if it's more just an heirloom you want to preserve, I would do it in one of those velvet boxes. That's just going to keep it in good shape. If it's something that you're like, God, I really wish I kind of remembered I had this and wore it more, then I would consider displaying it like on a jewelry hook or a jewelry rack. They have some that are just little pretty stands. I see them a lot at West Elm or Pottery Barn. Even Target has cute ones. It's just almost like a little tee and you can hang them and see them. So I always like to see jewelry.
I think it's neat too, because if you do have a lot of necklaces, like my mom has lots of really pretty blingy necklaces, you can like move them in and out and it's almost like you get a little bit of like pop of like seasonal. You could get all your red stuff out at Christmas and you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I love
that. The last one is, my mom passed and then my dad moved. My father-in-law and mom-in-law are now deceased. How do I make decisions about stuff in their home?
Hmm.
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
I had a hard time when my grandmother passed, because my grandparents raised me practically. And when she died, my grandfather had died and my mom just was a mess. And so we had to get rid of everything. So we were selling the house like in a week. And that to me was like a traumatic experience, because I didn't have all this coaching back then to know what to keep and what not to and how to process.
Yeah. So I can definitely speak to this, and I will say I have, so I've been through this. My dad passed 5 years ago and I was the only local family member. So it was actually like solely my responsibility to go through his entire 4-bedroom house and decide what I was keeping, what I was donating, how I was navigating all of it. So since we just have a few minutes, I'll give a little bit of advice, but I will say I have like a detailed blog post, and my website is just my name. So shiragill.com. That's what to keep when someone dies, where I really outline all of it in detail. But what I'll say kind of in a nutshell, what really helped me, because at the time I was in a small 2-bedroom house and my father died and was in a large 4-bedroom house. So I knew I couldn't possibly keep even a percentage of what he owned. It just wasn't going to be practical. So what I focused on is the idea of constraint and the idea of how much space do I have in my home for inherited items. And so for me, I limited it. We had really limited storage space. I limited it to 6 bins, like 6 of those airtight storage bins. And I had a dear friend come and support me through the process. And we actually, I had to do it in 2 days. So we walked through his entire house and basically anything that was beyond stuff, like, you know, mugs or couches or things that were just like, you could go buy them from Crate and Barrel. Like for me, it was like things that were specifically things that were, from my dad, like letters, photographs, things that were truly him, that were irreplaceable. I focused on just keeping those items. And then even still, there were more than I could keep. So I focused on okay, with the constraint of these 6 bins that are going to fit in my storage, what are the ones that are the most precious to me and the most meaningful to me? And I just kind of let my heart guide the decision-making process. And I also like the philosophy that the less you keep, the more meaningful it becomes. So I know someone who their mom passed away and they have one necklace from their mom. And that necklace has so much value infused into it because that's it. It's like the one thing. And I think like if that woman had 100 necklaces, they would all have a little bit of meaning. Right. So that really helped me too, is like, I was like, I want like the best of my dad. I want like his letters from the Peace Corps and his favorite photo album, but I don't need 20 photo albums. I just want his favorite. And so that really helped me. I hope it will be helpful to you, is just putting a physical boundary on it and then just being guided by like what feels the most connected to me, like what reminds me of my dad in the best way possible. And I only have one thing like on display in my house of my dad's. Like I have a framed recipe. He was a great cook. And so I have his recipe for macaroni and cheese, and it's framed and it's in our kitchen, and it makes me so happy. And I think if I had his stuff everywhere, it would not make me happy. Right. It would turn into clutter in my house. So
right.
I hope that's helpful and maybe a little bit liberating. Amazing.
I loved how you said, I want to keep the best pieces of my dad. Like, you know, that just, I think that's such an amazing way to think about it, you know?
Yeah.
So thank you. She said, yes, it was very helpful.
Oh, yay. Good. I'm so glad.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I'll see you in about a month.
I'll see you in person. Yeah. Thanks for having me. And thanks for all of you. I loved your questions.
Well, thank you. Talk to you later, lady.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Y'all have a good night.